it's a critical moment. We are trusting God to be able to gain the advantage. To gain the advantage. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the purpose of the Bible study is to upgrade us into the possibilities that are available to us, with which we are expected to redeem the heritage of God. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. It's a sober time in the landscape. An entire nation mourns. There are claims from various quarters. The altars that were consulted in order to install the king are beginning to make demands, and somehow our territory was chosen to provide the offering to satisfy the demand. That's critical. And because of that, the average believer within the territory at this time must be empowered with the basic understanding that is required to live a normal life. But we do not intend just to live a normal life. We intend to gain the advantage in the spiritual protocol that is responsible for our current evolution in society. Hallelujah. God always has an answer. His people will be perplexed whenever they do not have access to his wisdom. Let us turn our Bibles. It's a time of great anguish of spirit. It's a time of sober reflection. And all we need is not a good opinion. What we need is the voice of God. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 31, which I want to set a coordinate for a spiritual journey, and this scripture will be a very worthy entrance into the passageway. So turn your Bible with me quickly, Genesis chapter 1. Now, in order for us to capture, because Genesis chapter 1 seems to be a summary of that which God did in the visible creation. Now, originally, scriptures did not exist in fragmentations in form of chapters and verses. Torah doesn't even record matches. Just keeps going. We'll have to have that theology for us to get the progression of revelation and the sequence of emphasis, as the case may be. Hallelujah. We are not in doubt of that God is omnipotent. Is that true? God is omnipotent. God can do everything. But when God was embarking on the project of creation, he introduced the philosophy, introduced the principle, and that principle is process. God has the power to invoke the entirety of creation, invincible and visible, in one instant. But he decided to lay out the profile, lay out the template, lay out the protocol in a sequence that is very, very strategic. That is to say that there is something deep about the creation of God for him to decide to do it in a process and not to invoke it into appearance instantly. Hallelujah. Now, verse 31 of the book of Genesis begins to bring us into conclusion. Now, it's as if God has achieved that which he set out to achieve. And verse 31 is somewhat of a narrative giving some form of closure to the creative adventure that God embarked upon. Now, there are quite some wonderful things that we can pick from that conclusion. the conclusion runs across Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 into Genesis chapter 2 verse 1, verse 2, verse 3 and verse 4. And that is the sequence of the reading that we hope to do this evening. Now, it is because of the season. Normally, I will come up here and say, greet your neighbor. Connect. Interact. We don't have time for that because the land is in crisis. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, as we read on. And God saw everything that he had made. Now, so God was the maker, and the scriptures reveal to us that it was as if God himself, who is the maker, would stand aside and look upon the things that he has made. He's the one that made it, but he will stand like a spectator, as though he was not the one that made it, and then he looks at it and then gives it an evaluation from his own perspective of a creator. Alright? And there were many times in the book of Genesis that God had to stand aside to give a remark about the wondrous work of creation. I happen to be a scientist, and I know a few, especially in the field of chemistry, the kind of principles that God invoked together in order to establish a balance in the visible creation. Hallelujah. We have something like acceleration due to gravity, the influence of gravity, held at 9.8 meters per second. Scientists have come to discover that if acceleration due to gravity by any means was smaller than 9.8 meters per second, or much more than 9.8 meters per second, it would have compromised the delicate balance in which the entire creation is held in. It took a lot of computation, a lot of mathematics, a lot of chemical equilibrium, a lot of. So, this creator will now stand back and look at what he has done. And I need you to understand that his inspection of what he has done is not just on the strength of aesthetics, color blending, and color alignment. It's far deeper than that. There were many, like in water, we have upthrust, we have flotation, we have buoyancy. We have buoyancy. My God. Actually, exploration and towing the path of science is actually thinking the thoughts that God had before. That's what science is, thinking the thoughts that God had before. Because there are several things in the visible creation. Through research, we can actually stumble on the constants, the variables that God engaged in order for him to bring about this balanced ecosystem that can support all kinds of life. And so God stands as a spectator and he looks upon the wondrous art of creation. The delicate balances, the cycles and the cycles. Nitrogen cycle, oxygen cycle. The relationship between green pasture and the oxygen balance in the ecosystem. My God. So many things. The ozone layer covering so that thermal energy does not afflict and inflict upon us his excesses. And God put a canopy in the sky. And so he stood by to watch what he has done. And by the time we arrived at Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Are you still with me? Hey, my God, Jesus. It's a long story, but amen. Alright, let's look again. Because I know you never stand back the way God does. To look at your life the past 1 year. How does it look? What was the reading? What were the mistakes that I made? That's why you keep making mistakes that you make over and over again. Because you are not trying to come out of the context of the creation that is a function of your decision-making processes so as to be able to evaluate the accuracy of life that you have led for so time. But God is not like that. God will stand out of the picture and try to evaluate with sincerity, with all forms of sincerity, and he will crystallize a rating. Right? 31. And God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good. The evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, there are a lot of things, very, very deep things, that we can capture from this passage. If I am not, if my Bible knowledge is still current, I hope it is. You realize that the infrastructure for light was held up in the sky through the creation of the sun and the moon. And that is traceable to verse 14 of Genesis chapter 1. But in order for God to walk, he had to invoke light. The light that the Bible speaks about in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 is a light that did not come from the sun or from the moon. I hope you know the Bible says there was light. Amen. Okay, let's stop there. You are not seeing where I'm going. The light existed before the sun and moon were put in place. So what's the function of the sun and moon? There was light. There was illumination. There was enough illumination on God's workstation for him to perform the feat of creation. Now, a lot of things are intertwined. It's very deep when you read the account in the book of Genesis. And I actually invite us, in the privacy of your meditation, to look upon Genesis chapter 1 again. And you will find so many puzzles intertwined, intertwisted. And that's why God had to stand aside and look upon the work of his hands. And he gave it a rating. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 2, because like I said before I began, originally it was not fragmented into chapters and verses. So Genesis chapter 2 is supposed to be a direct continuum from Genesis chapter 1 verse 31. So you flip your Bible to accommodate Genesis chapter 2. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 2 we see a grand summary. A grand summary. It said, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. I need you to see what God is trying really hard to communicate with us using English language. This is how it looks like. Imagine that we have a partition here. Just imagine, okay? We have a partition here. And this happens to be the invincible creation. This happens to be the visible creation. Right? And in the invincible creation, we have two kinds of personalities that are represented in the invisible creation. One of which is God. God functions in his own class. He has his own way of doing things. He has his own life. He has his own orientation. He has his own perspective. You can only... Okay, God. Right? In fact, according to the scriptures, he has his own structure. I mean, bodily structure. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, for instance, the Bible says that Jesus was in the structure of God, but he did not think it robbery to be equal to God. Structure there, it's morphe, which means a bodily frame of reference, a kind of body. Now, so God has a kind body. Are you with me? Don't worry. Where we are going, we'll get there. Okay? God has a kind of body. Because of the privileges available to him on the strength of his kind of body, that he manifests what we call the omni qualities. The omni qualities are attributed and associated to God's kind of body. And so when Jesus put away God's kind of body and took upon the kind of body that is common to man, he no longer had the complements of the omni qualities. So, Jesus was as powerful as the Holy Spirit made him to be. He now had to yield to the Holy Spirit in order for him to get direction, perception, just like you need to yield to the Holy Ghost. Because he had given away the complements of the omni qualities because he had to put away his kind of body. Now, that is to tell us that there is a civilization, an exclusive civilization that exists in the domain, in the realm of God. It is so exclusive. In fact, okay, we'll look at that. Now, can you tell us what is happening in the media room that they want to gain attention today. Because that sound there is not of God. It's just attention. So that we'll call them and say. Now, if you want to gain attention next time. Now, the land is besieged. We are seeking a cure. Anytime there's a problem in the kingdom, wise men are sent out into the woods to interact with whatever and to come back with a solution. But it happens to be that in the kingdom of God, that's the role of the priest. He seeks to understand God's strategy to alleviating the pains of the people that are kept under his watch. Obviously, we know by doctrine that every time man comes into crisis, it's because we are devoid of an insight that relates to an operation of Jesus. If God wants to solve your problem, what he will eventually do is that he will show you another side of his son. That's God's only way of solving the problem of all mankind. In fact, mankind's problem began because he decided not to subscribe to the philosophy and the operation of God's kingdom. So there's something about the operation of God's kingdom that we neglect that is the reason for our problem. Hallelujah. Now, so we need to investigate. That's the work of priests and the work of prophets. We look at our civilization as a people, not just as a church, but as a landscape, as a people chosen under God to occupy this territory and to carry out his kingdom operations within this conclave. We are supposed to investigate to find out what is wrong, that we have seen the judgments that are manifested within our territory. That's why we are here this time. Hallelujah. We are not here for the media people and for the augmentation of their sound. I'm speaking to them. I know they understand what I mean there. Hallelujah. Now, so come back. Come back. Don't be in a hurry. The Bible says, thus, the heavens and the earth were created. Whereas, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 that we read, there was nothing spoken about the systematic creation of the heavens. The details that we see in the book of Genesis chapter 1 is about the earth, about when the sun was hoisted in the sky, about when living creatures began to move upon the face of the earth, about when creatures were invoked in the water, about when green plants were given liberty and opportunity to grow and to survive upon the land. We were not told of how heaven was meticulously constructed. Meanwhile, in summary, in the book of Genesis chapter 2 verse 1, we hear God say, we hear the narrative say, and thus, in this way, were the heavens and the earth created. Meanwhile, we had no account of the heavens. Now, it did not, the intention is not to leave us in limbo. There is something God is trying to draw our attention to. We need to see that in the reading of that scripture. In order for us to... The Bible says, thus, in this manner, were the heavens and the earth created. Now, it's trying to make you understand that since the earth was created in a sequence, day one, day two. But it's difficult to really articulate what day one is. Because by the time day one ended, there was no sun. That means there was no time. But day one. I'm just trying to let you see that there are deep things in the narrative. Okay? Very deep things. And so day one finished, day two finished, day three finished. God created a sequence. God did not invoke it into being.
Hallelujah.
Just like man, God did not invoke man into being. God came down and created man in a sequence. And all these things are symbolic, all these things are critical. Hallelujah. The other things you say, let there be creatures in the water. Let green plants appear on land. But there were several parts of the creation work that God had to apply a process in order for him to achieve the product. And we see that in the whole scale of the visible creation. We see that in the formation of man. Because God created man, God formed man, we see a process.
Are you with me? Now, all right. In Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says the heavens were created in the same way that the earth was created. There was heavens created in a sequence, just like the earth was created in a sequence. Don't forget that. Because it said, thus were the heavens and the earth created. Don't forget that. Now, so there are a lot of layers, a lot of realities, a lot of intersections, a lot of laws, a lot of principles that were set in motion on the account of that kind of detailed sequential creation. Now, most of which the scientists are still trying to find out right now. Hallelujah. Now, second thing here is that God implemented a statute. Implemented a statute. And that statute was reflective of the civilization that takes place and is upheld in the heavens. And that statute is what we call the Sabbath, the seventh day. Right? That statute was actually implemented in order to reveal a reality that is sustained in heavenly civilization. Now, in heavenly civilization, upon the study of the book of Revelation, you will find 12 factors that form heavenly civilization. For instance, the reason why there's war on earth is because there was war in heaven. So if you can understand the war that took place in heaven, then over and above Boko Haram, all of that, you'll be able to understand the war that is going on earth. Nothing begins on earth, right? Now, there was a river in heaven. That was why there was a river in Eden. That's why there's a river on earth right now. Are you with me? Now, so there are 12 realities upon which the civilization of the heavens is established. One of which is the reality of rest. So there's rest in heaven. That's why God instituted the Sabbath as a signpost that will bring us into the knowledge of that heavenly kind of civilization. I know many of us are not with me, but I will keep saying what I'm saying anyway. Now, it is because there is a river in heaven that Jesus said, out of your belly will come what? Now, in that operation, Jesus was teaching us how that spiritually we could link up with the river in heaven and then give out that river that exists in the heavens. Now, it is expected that we are supposed to interact with the 12 factors that establish the civilization of heaven, one of which is a river. And we can connect with that river when we begin to exercise ourselves in the Holy Spirit. A time comes when we enter into the economy of that river and out of our belly. Now, you see, the earth was created as a mirror image of the heaven. Now, I'm saying all these things because what I'm trying to teach here is priesthood. The function of priesthood. The priesthood, it requires a lot of wisdom for us to be able to superimpose upon the earth the potentials and the power of the invincible realm. It requires a lot of wisdom to achieve that. And if there's anything we need now, that's what we need now. We need to know how to take advantage of the potential, the laws that exist in the spirit realm, and to bring it into the natural and cause it to bring changes in this realm. That's what we are trying to achieve. There's a lot of technology that it involves, and I'm trusting God that we'll be able to look at the technology, and we'll have some time, about 1 hour, to practice that technology. And when we are done, if we do what we are supposed to do the way we are supposed to do it, we are expecting that there will be changes in this territory. Amen. That's where I'm going. That's what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. Now, so we connect with that river. Jesus revealed how we can connect it with it. There are watchers in heaven. That's why there are watchers on earth. Have you read that scripture that says, now is come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ? That's a commentary. That commentary was given by a watcher. One that was looking at the activity in heaven and then running a commentary. See, now it's come. It means before that time it was not available. He's saying what? Now it's come salvation and strength. the kingdom of our God and the power of the Christ, of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren has been. Can you really talk about being where I say now, based on this thing that has happened? Now is come salvation. You don't know where to look in order for you to prophesy. But the water in heaven knows what to look at. He understands the procession going on in the heavens. And he knows the interpretation, what it means. Because this accuser has been cast out. Nobody preached a sermon there. He knew that now salvation. That's the work of a watcher. And the reason why we have watchers on earth, watchers over cities, watchers over nations, is because there are watchers in heaven. Because the earth was created in such a way that it locks in a very holy relationship with the invincible realm. Are you with me? Now, so, if there are watchers in heaven, there will be watchers on earth. Because the earth is supposed to mirror the heavens. If there was a river there, there has to be a river here. If there was war there, then warriors must be raised on earth to continue that war that started in the heavens. Are you with me? If there was food there, then there must be food here. For your information, there's food there. You have heard my teaching before. God eats food. Alright, there's food there. Now, so the mirror image of that which was created in the invisible is found in the visible. Because the Bible says, thus, in the same way, were the heavens and the earth created. Come with me. I've been dodging that teaching to pick those factors one by one, those 12 factors, and then show us how we are supposed to interact with heaven. You don't need to die to go to heaven to interact with heaven. According to the economy that is available in the scriptures, we should be interacting with heaven every day. We should be part of the infrastructure that brings the atmosphere of heaven into the earth. Until we have the wisdom of how to create Eden, which is the embassy of God. Because it is written in the prophets that the land shall be like the garden, like Eden before them. That means a generation will come that will be able to create the environment called Eden again upon the face of the earth, the embassy of God. Eden was like an embassy. It was a part of heaven that was domiciled upon the earth. And Adam was the high commissioner. He was a man of status and a man of great ranking. According to the template of creation, God is in his own class, angels are in their own class, in the invisible realm. It happens to be that angels are ministering spirits sent to minister unto them that are heirs of salvation. In John chapter 4, the Bible says, God is spirit. I know you have heard it before that man is a spirit, he has a soul, he lives in a body. There's no scripture in the entire Bible that you can establish that philosophy upon. Because it's not biblical. It's just the very good thinking of human beings. That's not scriptural. In the visible realm, we now have man. And then after man, we now have animals. Animals are lower in ranking to man. Meanwhile, the Bible says, a man held in honor and knoweth not is like what? So it is actually possible for you to lose your standing, your capacity, and your status. And you are functioning far below ordination. And everybody will be wondering why it is so, but it will be so in your case. Not because God has ordained it. Hallelujah. Alright, so just like God is the entire chieftain of the universe, he created every being after his own kind, but created man after him, his image, and after his likeness, indicative of the fact that man cannot attain to his fullest potential except he's in alignment with God. He's supposed to be a theater that reflects the ways of God. When we say man is created in God's image, it means that man was created with the capacity and the potential to contact God, to contain God, and to manifest God. Have you ever been to the hospital and you have, what do you guys call that stuff? Patrick, that glove you wear, what's the name? That one you wear before you touch anything. You guys like to make us feel that you are doctors by wearing gloves. Okay, we don't even want that name. We don't want to know that name. Now listen to me. The glove is created in the image of the hand because the purpose of the glove is that it's going to host the hand. That's how man is created in the image of God. Because man has not yet seen his real purpose except he plays host to God. He must have a facility by which he contacts God. Your phone is of no essence except there's a SIM card. The SIM card is what connects you to the network. But your phone can produce touchlight without the SIM card. There are some functions. You can, hallelujah. Calculator can work without the SIM card. But, the Lord give you understanding. But that's not the reason for which you bought the phone. You bought it to be able to connect with network. Is that so? Just like man was created with the view that he will be able to interface with the realm of God. Was created in the image of God. God was supposed to be his host sometime in his journey. Alright? That's why an unbeliever can identify the presence of God even though he is not born again. Because he was created to know God. Created to host God. Created to contain God. Created to contact God. Created to manifest God. But you know what? The problem of the unbeliever is that he's under another dominion. And this dominion wants to fill him up. And when Satan fills him up, what he does is he tries to distort the image of the glove. So that the glove will no longer be suitable to host the hand. You understand that? That's why when Jesus comes, he begins to recreate that image again. So that he can enter. So the recreation process and all of that, because he needs to have a free access into that habitation, begins to reconstruct your philosophy, reconstruct your perspective, your scale of judgment. A lot of reconstruction. And for every form of success he makes in the reconstruction post-process, it creates an orbital for him to possess. And he keeps doing that until he has full access of this potential called man. So man was not created in his own image. Man was created after the image of another. That's the alignment of the two realms. Man is actually the infrastructure that can align the two realms together. God does not have the right to operate in the visible creation, because by an act of royal decree in the book of Psalms 115 verse 16, he said, "The earth has he given unto the sons of men." That's jurisdiction. If a spirit without a body begins to wander in the visible realm, he can be arrested and he will remain there to the end of time. So God will not come to you except you invite him. God paid for you, bought you as his own property, but he will never take possession of you fully except you give him the right of way. It's because of those principles he has put in place. Are you still with me? Now, man is supposed to be in alignment with God. When man becomes such a creature that is aligned to God, then he cannot become a dominion. He cannot become the God that the visible creation will see. The dominion mandate is locked to his spirit. Whether his spirit will ever come into alignment with the image that he was created to carry. That's why man is called a vessel. You shall be a vessel. Have you seen it? Jesus was talking about Paul. He said, he's my vessel. What do you mean by vessel? It was designed, it was ordained to contain something. You were supposed to contain God. On the strength of containing God, you have an opportunity that even God does not have. That opportunity is that with your spirit that is aided by God, you have license to traffic and to interact with the invisible realm. And because of your body of earth, you have license to operate within what? The visible realm. And you need that qualification in order for you to be able to establish a priesthood, to bring the influence of the invisible upon what? The visible. But don't forget, a man held in honor, just in case he doesn't know, is like what? A beast. There is a relationship between the invisible and the invisible realm. I've said this before and I need to highlight it tonight, because we are going on a journey. Hallelujah. Said it before. There is a relationship, and that relationship is established because of the way God designed the two creations, the invisible and the visible. Now, we are going quite deep. We'll trust God to help us. But I also pray that your understanding will be enlightened in the name of Jesus. We can no longer fight battles without debt, because Satan is invoking all the covenants he has at his disposal to do his worst in order to at least create a stumbling block and to make it very, very difficult for God to fulfill his purpose for our territory. And so we need to take our journey deeper, just in case we did not even plan to go this deep, because of the way the devil is calling for the battle and the way he wants to fight the battle. The necessity for depth is required at this point in time. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now, I've said this before. Genesis chapter 2 verse 4 is where I'm going to show you the relationship between the visible and the invincible creation. If we can get that relationship and you understand man the way he is, man is not a spirit. Man is spirit, soul, and body. Your soul probably might be as important as your spirit. Your body probably might be as important as your soul. After salvation, 90% of the efforts of God is upon your soul. Your spirit is a living. Your spirit is living in a quarter of prosperity. 90% of the dealings of God is because of your soul was wrecked by the fall. It's trying to restore that soul. In fact, the Bible says we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. He said we are of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Just like your spirit was saved, your soul will be saved. And the Bible speaks about the redemption of the purchased possession. Even your body too will be saved. Mortality will be swallowed up by life. And this body doesn't have the capacity to enter into the realm immortal. It will have to be left behind here. The Bible speaks of a body, a heavenly tabernacle, domiciled in the heavens of God, that you will put on. There's no time in your sojourning, either here or after here, that you will not have need for a body. Man is spirit, man is soul, man is body, according to scriptures. And there is no scripture that suggests that man is a spirit possessing a soul and having a body. It's not biblical. If you go back to the Old Testament, the Bible says there is a spirit in man. It did not say man is a spirit. Now, some people come up with the fact that the Bible says that Jesus Christ, the second Adam, was a life-giving spirit. That means, and we are like Jesus. Now, I believe that's where the philosophy is coming from. Because I've checked the entire Bible to find it. Jesus was what? A life-giving spirit. Okay. And the first Adam was what? A living soul. It is necessary for you to understand that Jesus did not only have a spirit. When Jesus was going to die, where did he appear with a spear? Was a spirit. Now, the comparison that was made between the first and the second Adam was in this way. He said that, because I will show you doctrinally, I don't want us to move without clarity this evening. Because this is the only opportunity I have to teach us. From this point, we'll be doing a lot of praying and all of that. Listen to me. Now, a contrast and a comparison was done between the first Adam and between the second Adam. The Bible is saying that the most conscious, the place from whence the first Adam drew his consciousness from was his soul. Please write this in your book just in case you came with the book. The proof of life is consciousness. If this thing enters you, this small statement, the proof of life is what? Consciousness. So I can tell what life you are living on if you tell me the consciousness that you have. Oh, you don't understand what I said? Okay, I will explain later. Okay, how did Eve fall into the temptation of the devil? The fruit was good for food. It was to be desired to make one wise. What's the third one? It was pleasant to the eyes. So the consciousness that was at work there was where? So, you get that? Adam was. It was through the activities of the soul that she was able to evaluate it to be good and desired it and took it. And on the strength of her taking it, the implication of her taking it is that she became dead in the spirit. are now sentenced to live a life that was coming out of the consciousness that is based upon the civilization of his soul. Are you with me? But the difference between that Adam and the second Adam is that the second Adam sustains a consciousness that is coming from his spirit. It's that consciousness that makes him aware of God and the things of God. Are you with me? So everything that the second Adam did was because of the level of consciousness that he had gained. So it was not that the second Adam didn't have a body. It was not that the second Adam did not become man. Man is an enterprise of God that fulfills what? Spirit, soul, and body. But the consciousness of the second Adam, from whence he operated, from whence he functioned, from whence he did the things he did, just in case you want to become like him, you need to gain consciousness in the very area where he had it. And where is that consciousness? It was a consciousness that came from the spirit. And from my permutation there, I said the proof of life is what? It is the divine life within your spirit that makes you conscious of the realm of God. So the Bible is trying to say that Jesus Christ was conscious in his spirit because the divine life was in his spirit, giving him another consciousness that humanity cannot have except you follow the protocol of believing in him and receiving the very spirit by which he was able to gain that level of consciousness. So it is not saying, that scripture is not saying that Jesus did not have a body. It is not saying that Jesus did not have a soul. In fact, in the Godhead, each member of the Godhead had his own mind. So Jesus had a soul. Jesus had a body. And Jesus on the cross, he had to pay the price for our redemption from the spirit, from the soul, and from the body. From the spirit realm, his father had to separate from him, so he had separation from his father. And in the history of God, that's the first time that happened. Jesus was raised upon the cross as, I hope you know, Passion of the Christ did not depict it very well, because Jesus was naked on that cross. Nobody crucifies anybody with a pant. Yes, he was naked, stark naked upon the cross. He was dying the death of a criminal. There was no shame in that society that was much more than that. That place was called Golgotha. Why? The place of the skull. Because when somebody dies like that, nobody buries you. You rot there and your bones remain there. So he was dying the death of a criminal. When he was raised on that cross, there was no shame greater than that. His soul suffered shame. And his body lost blood in seven places. On the strength of the affliction that came upon his body. The redemption that we enjoy today is spirit, soul, and body suffering of Jesus. Because the man that God wants to reap from that redemption sacrifice is a man that is man, both spirit, soul, and body. That's where the Spirit of God has the authority to deal with your soul from. Because Jesus' soul was dead to it. That's where the Holy Ghost has the authority to deal with your body from. Because Jesus' body was dead to it. You say what? You are not with me. I don't want to digress, but I need to solve that problem. He was wounded for what? Transgression. You see, if the Father just wanted to kill Jesus and it would become the sacrifice he wanted, they would have shot a spear, an arrow, into his chest. He would have died. That also. But they scourged him. They wounded him in very, very intelligent ways. And God allowed his son to be subject to that. And God cannot be a sadist. But every form of torture he had in his body was locked onto something that God wanted to solve. So he was wounded for what? He was bruised for what? The chastisement of our peace was for what? And with his stripes. You see that? So he had to have stripes, he had to have bruises, he had to have wounds. And all of that was done on his body. If the body is not important, why were there seven protocols of punishment that the body had to carry? The reason is because man is tripartite: his spirit, his soul, and body. Did you get that? Or you want us to move further? Have you come to that? Because that's what we're taught in Faith Bible College, that man is a spirit. I searched the entire scripture, I did not see that. And as long as you hold that view, you cannot understand what I want to teach this night. That's why somebody believes that the goal is to be anointed. And he doesn't check to see whether the character of Christ has been established in his soul. And he will pay for for that neglect. Because man is tripartite. Man is what? His spirit. Man is what? His soul. Man is what? If you forget everything, don't forget that. And that's the agent of God in the natural creation that is supposed to align with him, seeing that he was created in his image and likeness, in order for him to contact God. He becomes the God that this realm will know. He becomes the creature through which God will regulate this dimension. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. Okay, you need scriptures for that statement I made. You know, God was the one that told Moses that I'll make you a God unto Pharaoh. If he called them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. And so we're supposed to operate like gods here, but under the authority of the Most High God. That means we should have the ability, through our spiritual connection, to change things in this environment. I said I wanted to say something quickly. And what I wanted to say was that I wanted to show us the connection between the two creations, visible and invisible, and why a being like man was required. We cannot understand priesthood except we understand man. Man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim. For thou hast crowned him with glory and with honor. Man is a titled creature that has a dual type of crown. A crown of glory. And that crown of glory will lead him to the crown of honor. At the end of his days, he should fall asleep with the crown of glory and the crown of honor. By these two crowns and medallions, he has the hope of resurrection unto life. Now that, are you still there? Right, so let's go back. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis 2. Please, 1,000 times, man is not a spirit. Man is what? The spirit, soul, and what? Don't forget. Because there is a creature that the devil wants to create out of man. And that creature is not a man of God, but a man of man. And you know the philosophy of man? That's what we call 666. So let's leave that. Let's leave that for now. That's 666. Man of man. A man that behaves like man. Not a man that behaves like God, but a man that has mastered the way of man without God. That's what we call the Antichrist. That's the one that is to come. That's the one that will rise among the nations and seek to cause the entire world to bow to Satan and to submit to his authority. Now, we were coming in the car and somebody made a statement. The person called it selfie. Selfie. Have you ever taken one of those? I'm not saying stop, but I'm saying that we are in the days of selfie. Well, what we want to see is man according to the image of man. This is how I know. I say, if only you can check the perfect law of liberty and find out how God wants you to look, or how you look in God, you may not need to do this. But I'm not saying stop doing that anyway. But selfie. Selfie is a philosophy that is put in place when man of man is the agenda. Selfie. That is the level of civilization that fallen humanity can attain to, can become. That is operating system. That is his perspective and his philosophy. It is selfie. And that selfie philosophy is contradictory to man created in the image of God that is supposed to contact, contain, and manifest God. Amen. Well, I'm not saying, I know some of you are Facebook people. Please don't stop flowing on Facebook. I'm just using that illustration. Somebody will come out or cook food and snap it. I wish you could catch a glimpse of glory. We have invested so much in selfie. And it's a mundane philosophy that is tied to the fallen man. And we need to advertise the new man, recreated after the image of Christ. That's the man that should be known, not the selfie that you snapped. May the Lord give you understanding. In Jesus' mighty name. Okay. Well, I believe I've said what I wanted to say before. The Genesis chapter 2, I said you should open to. I've said it before, so I may not need to say it again. Let me tell you a little about the invisible realm. If you don't know about the invisible realm, you are going to have problems in your navigation. Just because you don't know that electricity shocks people and you lay your hands on naked wire, it's not enough reason for you not to be electrocuted. So we need to understand how that realm operates. Just like the scientists have been able to master the visible realm. Aristosthenes, in 1817, was in his village when he calculated the radius of the earth. It's his figures that are still used in all calculations that pertain to distance in the earth. When you come on board Kenya Airways and you are going to Nairobi, the computer that is in the aircraft tells you that the journey is going to last for 5 hours, 30 minutes. Why is that? Distance does not change. That's physics. That's your people. Distance does not change. And if we can place the speed of the car constant, because we intend to go 37,000 feet, and that's a projectile, all right? So the higher you go, the shorter the journey becomes. Hallelujah. All these things have been permutated. All these permutations are in that computer. So they have put it together. It's going at 38,000 feet. It is above sea level, and this is the distance. They tell you when you are going to arrive. And I've checked it, and we actually arrived when we were told we're going to arrive, because the distance did not change. So these guys have mastered that world, this visible world. In fact, one of their latest discoveries that perplexed the entire world of science, because they were the ones that advanced the theory that this creation evolved out of a mixture of gases. You understand Brownian motion and all of that? What did I call that thing again? It's so long now. Alright. The Big Bang theory, Brownian motion, and all of that, and creation evolved. They are trying to escape the fact that there was a designer in creation. But current science has revealed that the earth actually did not evolve. The earth began. Current science. And that seems to validate the philosophy of the Christians, which they have been trying, which Charles Darwin tried to disapprove. But they have come to accept that the world actually began. That's one. Then number two, through cellular investigation, they have come to discover that every cell is a machine. That means there's a designer. These were revelations that scientists like Charles Darwin wanted to cover so that science will look like a stranger to the Bible. But you see, men like Charles Newton were Pentecostal Christians. Men like all the great guys that did the great stuff that you hear about, they were church guys. In fact, some of them were theologians. Well, Newton was a theologian, was a pastor. The one that discovered the light bulb was a pastor. Was a master theologian. And he said that invention is thinking God's thoughts in the past. Now, these guys have been able to master the physical realm. Now, one of those guys that works in the control tower that gives directives to aeroplanes when they land, he will predict that by 4 o'clock there will be rain in Lagos. So, anywhere you are by 4, go home. And true to it, we doubted him many times and we became victims of the downpour. These guys have mastered this visible creation. But you know what is lacking? People to master the invisible side. You think before these guys began to kill us here, they did not program it. Before El-Rufai brought that law out, they had checked the alignment of the moon and star. They waited for this time in order for them to bring it to pass. Priesthood must rise. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You don't seem to see it. Come with me. You are not seeing it. Hey, Lord, help us today. Help us.
David. David said.
Because David grew up in Bethlehem. That was where Jesus was born. Hallelujah. And then in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23, David now made a wish. He said, oh my God. Oh, that someone could give me a drink of the water from my village. At that time, Bethlehem was besieged by the Philistines. The three mighty men saw that wish as another attempt, another reason to slay the Philistines. And that's what they do. They took their tools. I don't want to go into the details of how they were able to achieve that, because they were up against the garrison. What the Romans would call a legion. The legion is a military term that involves 2,000 to 12,000 soldiers. And three men decided to break through the ranks of a legion. They got... it's so graphic in scripture. There was so much explanation about how they did it. But I don't want to go into that. These guys now went and brought the water. Gave their master. And they were so excited that they were given another opportunity to flex their muscles. They have been training for long. No, nobody toes go key. Hallelujah. And they brought the water back to the master. And David made a statement. It was David the priest that was speaking. He was a disciple of Samuel. Samuel had taught him spiritual things. He knew how the spirit realm works. He understands what we call the shekel of the sanctuary. How that a particular physical thing can have a spiritual value. You don't understand what I'm saying, but I'm trying real hard. They now brought the water to David, and then David said, far be it from me, Lord. He was not interacting with God, that I should drink this. Because according to priesthood, that water at that time was equivalent to blood. And blood was one of the items, or is one of the items on earth that has value in the mortal realm. So if he had drank that water, which was now equivalent to blood, he would have been guilty of drinking immortal material. It is the understanding of priesthood that made him stop from drinking it. I hope you have not drank something that is immortal. The question is, you are not with me. Oh God, have mercy. The question is, at what time did the water become? Because the quality of the water and what the water was what was engaged in order to procure it. He said, is this not the lives of these men that went in drop party? So the water now sustained the value of the risk that was put into it in order to secure it. So it's only a priesthood that knows that that water should not be drunk. It should be poured out as a libation. But if you don't have the kind of spiritual understanding we're talking about, you cannot change anything. That is priesthood that worked. A man that understands the invisible realm and how to manipulate it in the natural. I hope you know that when Judas brought the money, he sold the money. The money that he brought, that money to the priest. They rejected it. Because they knew that that money at that time was equivalent to what? But it is the knowledge of priesthood that gave them that insight. If we don't have that kind of wisdom, we cannot win this people. That kind of money should not be put in the offering basket, because the ministry will be guilty of blood from that day henceforth. Not that we went to key, but we collected money that came from. May the Lord open our understanding. Amen. What I'm saying is, it is possible to walk with God and to be cut off just because you are not awake to several factors. Walking, you don't have knowledge of priesthood. That's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? Now, so can we do a small teaching to educate us about the invincible realm, how it operates? Then if we do that teaching, I'll now show you how to apply that realm. You know, when God created water, Just like you said, the law of upthrust became active. The law of flotation became active. The law of buoyancy became active. There are laws in the spirit realm. That is general spirit realm. And there are also laws in the spirit realm which are particular to the realm of Christ. Okay. Can we make progress? Are you still with me? And so we want to find out how that realm is, the laws that operate in that realm, so that you can know, you can take one kind of water, just like David, one water, and take it to one place in Ikpayongo and pour it there. But that water is not water. That water, according to immortal permutations, is equivalent to blood because of how it was secure. So when you pour that water there, it has an effect on that spot that the immortal realm can relate to. Alright? Because I need to show you things that the immortal realm can relate to, and they don't relate to the things of man. In the office, they did some posting. I thought I would be posted out. That was the prayer. But the list came out. My name was not there. I mourned for 3 days and then I revived. They brought 10 guys from Abuja to Lagos. And in Lagos, the way we work is this. Whether if you are senior or junior, what we want to do is the work. Do you understand? So we behave as if we are the same in rank. We don't remember rank. So if I want to travel, I say, bro, cover down my side, okay? And then even somebody that is far, far junior to me can come and beg and say, okay, Alpha, go, not for me. So we operate that way. So the guys came from Abuja. When they came, they were concerned about position. No. They came and reported that. No. Let it be structured so that. Do you understand that? Those people were concerned about the things of men. We were walking sweatlessly before, but when they brought that structure and that thing, you can't send me because I am Babanla. Now the system is no longer flexible. We are increasing now because we have been bothered by the things of men. The mortal realm is not bothered about the things of men. And I'm going to show you the things of God. What can happen that can blot out the light of the sun? Priesthood is very powerful. And that's what we need to know now. We have spoken tongues for long. But we need to know how the realm was spoken to, how the realm operates. What was the effect of that utterance? What rose and what fell on the account of that utterance? A priest must understand the realm in which his efforts are targeted at. That informs the kind of tools he uses. Because he cannot use a tool that doesn't have a voice in the immortal realm. Now come with me quickly. Let me give you five textures. Five points that reveal the immortal dimension. When I give you 5 points, then I'll tell you about the laws of that realm and how to invoke them. Then, like Samuel, you can come in dry season. And Samuel knew the sacrifice to offer that will bring rain in dry season. He knew the sacrifice because he knew what the immortal realm wants, and he knows how to give it to that realm to get the desired result. A priest cannot be a novice. A priest must be alive to the realm of his reality, from whence he draws his reference and he draws his strength. A man cannot be greater than his reference. And your reference is Christ, and Christ is domiciled in the spirit. Hallelujah. If you will ever be great, it will be by that reference. Now come with me quickly. First and foremost. Let's do Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 to 12. I need somebody with a microphone to help me with the reading, so that we'll not spend too much time. Genesis, quickly. 4, verse 8 to 12. Please listen.
These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
Okay! That's not what I said you should read. Genesis chapter 4, okay. Verse 8 to 12. He wants to provoke a teaching that we don't have time to contain.
And And Abel.
Focus,
sorry. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother.
Okay.
And it came to pass.
It came to pass.
When they were in the field. That Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him.
Okay. Rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Okay.
And the Lord said unto Cain.
Where
is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said.
Now listen. I hope you know. When God began to interview, who is his name again? Cain. Cain did not know he was in court. What summoned Cain to court was the cry of the blood. Because I told you that there are few things that the immortal realm can perceive from this realm. One of those things is blood. That's why Jesus had to shed blood. Because the purpose of Jesus' death on the cross was not for the natural realm, as it were. It was to create something that the immortal realm can receive, that will satisfy the claims of divine justice. Are you with me? Oh my. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are still here, say amen.
Amen.
Alright, so that blood began to cry from the ground. And the blood crying from the ground actually appeared, the cry from the ground appeared in the courtroom of heaven. In fact, the blood was actually demanding vengeance from the hand of the killer. It was like accounts need to be balanced. After this debt, now there's a debit. And there must be, this account must be credited. Something must happen to balance these records. If not, this cry will continue. Are you with me? So that cry, which is the cry of the blood, came from the ground and ascended into the courtroom of heaven. So what God was doing here to Cain was what the lawyers call cross-examination. He started by saying, where is your brother? How I wish the man answered where? Because the man now answered God as if he was answering a man. He said, who cares? Am I my brother's keeper? He was as if he was talking to a man that was devoid of insight. How I wish he answered well. He didn't know that it was the great monarch of Zion that was speaking to him from court. The elders were seated there. Angelic princes were also seated. The whole place was garnished with ranking people. And then God now said, Cain, where's your brother? I said, what are you talking about? Did you at any point in time assign me to be his keeper? Then God now gave him more insight. He would have been kept from that, the additional insight, if God did not have the reason to reveal it. He said, your brother's blood is crying from the ground. Hey! That's an additional info. Are you with me? The immortal realm can understand the language of blood, can receive blood. That's why, that was what David knew, that he did not drink that water. He said, this one is for the immortals. He poured this as a libation. Only God knows what would have happened to David if he had drank that immortal, that water. Water meant for the immortals. He drank it and said, yeah. I don't want to say something. I'm tempted. When we were teenagers, our church began to contribute money to build a church building. The money was being contributed until I was ready to marry, from teenage time. Till when? I was almost getting married. People will know what I'm saying. They already know. If you know, keep quiet. Don't discuss it. Then suddenly there was an invitation that came from the United States to the lead minister in our ministry. And the minister ran helter-skelter to look for transport money in order to fly to the United States. And there seemed to be no money around the ministry. The only account that was full was building committee. That money was raised in 5 naira, 20 naira, 50 naira, 100 naira note until it became big. What's the name of that money? It's blood money. Yeah, okay, let's leave it. Since you don't know the name, we'll leave it. Hey. So when the chairman of the committee was approached about the money, the chairman said he will not have a part in this. He, like Pilate, he washed his hand. So another signature to the account had to be raised quickly. That was in line with the motion. And the money was contacted. That money was not 5 naira. It was not the 10 naira of the market woman. It was not the... Sometimes you see some children who hold like this. Hey, the reason why they hold it like this is make everybody be CEO. Me, ma, I put. That was the money that was used for transportation. Upon arrival, this great minister of God was beaten by a rodent. You know, God won't kill you first. He will incapacitate you so that you can have time to reflect on your ways. No, he's a merciful God. A rodent. So the invitation that the person was going for, there was no health to honor it because there had to be a hospital bed. And it was all traceable to blood money. It's only in church that we take blood. We drink the water of the mortars. And expect that all will be well. I just added that one so that you have understanding. It is when you know nothing of priesthood, you can do that kind of a thing and sleep. There's a court. A court that was able to detect what was crying from the ground. That's how meticulous the court is. They can check all nations and find what is crying from each territory, even from your compound. On the strength of what came from the ground, that was how this man was summoned to court. And cross-examination began. Where is your brother? Now, that guy would have started well from that point. It would have been better. He spoke like a gangster. You know, say, for your information, his blood. We were all at peace in the court until the cry of this blood entered our chambers. Our hallowed chambers was invaded by this cry. Do you realize that after that, he was not allowed to talk again? Do you realize what the testimony and the demand of the blood that came into that chamber of the law that provoked the judgment that came upon him? There was no physical witness standing in the court. What appeared in the court was what? A cry. Where did it come from? Blood. Now, so that realm, just in case you don't know, is a legalistic kind of realm. It's legalistic and legislative. Write that one down. I need to go deeper here. I tried to teach it in Lagos. I gave them what they could carry. But this is my home base. This is my base. So I have to open things to you. Hallelujah. It's legalistic and what? And legislative. A legislation was released on the strength of the legalistic nature of the realm that demanded that cry of that blood had to be stated. That was the reason why the court in heaven called for the attention of that guy called Cain. Where is your brother? Now let me give you an insight. Just in case there's a curse running through your family, it means somebody before you discovered that the spirit realm is legalistic. And he went into partnership with some spirits. And the partnership he went into and the agreement he went into, you guys are no longer fulfilling it. So the spirit has every right, according to the law that is in that realm, to bring affliction upon everyone who is a violator of the truth and of the agreement. That is possible because the realm is legalistic. You have seen your family go in a certain way. It's the judgment that is coming because laws were broken. What you call a curse is actually judgment. Judgment applied because of unbroken agreements that were set in motion. How I wish I had time tomorrow, I will tell you about transactions. Transactions. Those are the ones that God taught me last week. Transactions. That we need to start new transactions. Just like those guys started some transactions that is binding on people today. And they are long gone. We need to know how to set in motion a lot of transactions. So that when a king comes upon the throne and he begins to boast and operate contrary to transaction, a spirit, an angel will kill him. Because the truth is that some people get to the throne and become mad. You know, we had a mad king here. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Now, so the realm is legalistic. You need to be a very good barrister, very deep, very established in the policies of heaven, in the perspective of heaven's protocol, to be able to challenge certain things. We'll be shown how you challenge it, because we have to challenge things. I had to fly last week to Kaduna so that we could curse the throne of the seat of power. That if it is true, yes, we concord. Hey! We mix things, and we release it. And I told them that in 21 days you will hear the cry of this thing. Yes, then I left there. No, I've been going through school. Yes, if you say the church is powerless, it's because you don't know, you have not felt the text of the real church. The rise of Idahosa was a proof that a church of authority was going to rise, that understands the dexterity and how to manipulate the spirit realm and to bring answers from there. This realm is the realm of the victim. It's the cause of realities, the cause and effect of realities and transactions in that realm that is superimposed here. The time has come for us to set in motion a set of transactions that will bring into bondage and into humility anyone that rises to establish and to advance the kingdom of darkness. We need to know how to set transactions in motion. A time came in our family, we were tired of burying people. We're tired. So burial was no longer an event that people, anybody close to the dead body bury a person. Let's go on. The burials were too much. Is it only our family that exists in the village? Every now and then. And then after they finish burying somebody will prophesy, another burial is coming. So we had to move into motion. But they did not know we moved. And we set a law in motion by the covenants of the three that bear witness in heaven. And we set it in motion. That anyone that touches any spirit, interacts with any spirit that is dark, is that one that will fall. So somebody did not know that such a law had been put in place. He now went to interact. It's as if the person went to consult was wise. This thing is risky. Say, no, you, it must be done. If it can be done, it must be done. He said, don't do it, oh. He said, is it not based on my head? It's on my head now. Then the guy said that so that he will have insurance policy. And the insurance policy was the life of that guy. And I said, invoked, opened the vault of the land of the dead. And invoked a particular spirit and put it upon a goat. So this spirit upon this goat will last for 3 days. That means the goat will live for 3 more days. But in these 3 days, make sure that this goat does not die before the 3 days. And also make sure that the goat doesn't find your house. So that person in my family took that goat and trekked across 7 villages. He's a bearded chief. He has a throne, but he was trekking. Hallelujah. With goat. And went into the forest and left that goat there. At the time he left the goat, it was evening time. And we're not told that goats travel in the night. And when he woke up in the morning, the goat had died, and the goat was died in front of his door. Because he did not only die, he died where? But and ghosts don't travel in the night. How did he come there? The law was set in motion of which he was not aware. It means that our rights as a family have been revised. Hallelujah. And when he saw the goat there, he knew he had only 3 more days to live. So he sent pleasantries to all his children. Just in case you don't see me again. I've traveled. He even called the people that would want to waste money in the hospital and said, don't spend money on me this time. And when he died on the third day, there was no blood in his veins. Because the spirit that was from the vault of the dead had sucked all. You know what? If you really know what we are talking about, then a human being cannot be a threat to you. Hallelujah. When we are done praying, on the third night, you come with a bottle of anointing. You anoint your way back to where you came from. Huh? Okay. No, don't worry. Let's educate. We need some education first. So first of all, the land is legalistic. You know, we have cried for too long. Have you seen those pictures? Any one of them, us, could be like any one of them. And so we need to come to the rescue. If there is a God among us, he will rise this time. Do you know that personality called Jehovah, the man of war? We only know how to invoke him, but nobody can tell him go back now. It's like a flood. You can create a pathway for it to flow, but nobody can call it back to itself. There are powers in the heavens of God. There are angels that if they stand over Makodi, they can blot out the sun for 21 days. It is because there is no priest in the territory that can go into the unseen and draw the powers thereof. One man, the Bible says, the reason why Moses left the land of Egypt to sojourn as a fugitive was because he saw him that was invincible. It was by the hand of this Moses that God contended with the 12 spirits of Egypt and brought out a nation from the womb of darkness. He did it by one man. Only God knows what power is available to you that you have never used. The realm is legalistic. Hence, a man that knows this one will live righteously. Because if you live unrighteously, you have subjected yourself to judgment. Somebody stole somebody's bicycle. And the person knows the person that stole it. He didn't go to complain. He just went to invoke judgment on the person that stole the bicycle from the hand of a spirit of dumbness. That thief is now a victim of judgment because he did not live righteously. The reason for the doctrine of restitution is not because of heaven. It's so that you will be covered and protected from judgment. Not for heaven. Because if I stole from you and I bring the bicycle, if you like, go to Shongo and invoke. Shongo will have no ground to operate it because the Bible says that the curse that is costless, it cannot come. So righteousness is not an option for a man that wants to wield true power. Because when you begin to wield power, they will check for you through the horoscope to find your name and your identity. Whether you are known from the right quarters. And that's why the demoniac said, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know his origin, his source, where he's operating from. We have not been informed about you. The lexicon doesn't carry your name. And when they saw he was not protected even by darkness or light, they knew nobody will press charges if he's dealt with. Nobody to press charges. It's legalistic. How I wish that when we pray tonight, you know you are praying to a God that is alive. Many of you speak in tongues, absent-minded, bada bada. That's a spiritual exercise. There is profit in it. You are just exercising your spiritual muscles. It's not as if you are engaging anything. But if you are engaging something, you must engage as man. Spirit, soul,
and what body must be in alignment. Because the Bible said that the house divided against itself, it shall not stand. Legalistic. The blood began to seek balance. I remember there's one house in Wadata. Every woman that takes in there has miscarriage. So we had to run a test. And then we discovered at the ground, there is a cry coming from the ground. One of our pastors, name with head, but one of us, I saw him. He had lost weight. And I knew it was not a diet. One of the symptoms of judgment, this kind of judgment I speak of, you can just from 70 kg, you just become 32 kg. Spirits have tortured you. And that's what I'm saying. So I saw that he had lost so much weight. And I knew that spirits were involved. That this was a judgment. I said, you are looking. I knew. I hailed him, but I went to pray. I said, Baba, why did this guy become thin like this? And I heard the prayer for 2 weeks. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me that it's Boniface that I'm talking about. Just you are using your mind too much, Boniface. So I went to ask God about Boniface. I said, why did this man lose weight like this? This is demonic. He said, yes, you are correct. That Boniface's father was the one he called. And the father petitioned him and said, okay, you use my son. Just allow me to support in ministry, support ministry. So from a child, God began to use that young man, began to raise him. And then it was the father again that now went and looked for a job for the son and put the son there. The guy was doing the job and dying. I said, I sent him to his father to tell him that God gave you a call which you passed on to your son. Now you have now made it impossible for your son to carry out that call. This man is supposed to serve God on full-time basis with your support. When he took the message to him, the man shouted while he was eating food. His memory went back. And his wife now asked him, what is this? Because he didn't tell the wife. He said, no, he knows how he keeps what God tells him. He's not. It's after that Boniface left that job. Every evening I will call him for 2 weeks. Go and climb the weighing scale. Tell me your weight. Tomorrow I will call him again until he added 2 kg. And I said, okay, go on. That was judgment. He was living in violation of a covenant. And the devil did not consult. The devil saw that there was a break of law and he applied judgment. How is the realm? It is what? Legislative and what? Legalistic. Amakunemo. I pray. I hope I'm teaching the right people. Well, I have assurance that if it's not you I'm talking to, it will be sweet to your ear. You will never have it in your heart. That was how that young man's life was saved. You would have died on that workstation. So that thing we call a curse. Most of you, when you see a curse, you will not even know one. That's why when you see a blessing, you will not know one. Because what you call a blessing doesn't necessarily have to be a blessing for it to be that way. We need spiritual people that have eyes to see so that we can change things. We'll know when to cry, when to invoke the blood of Jesus. When to ask God for mercy. That's number one. Let's go to number two. Just in case you have noticed that there is a pattern in your family that is what you are suffering is a judgment. It's a judgment because you have stood in violation of a particular agreement that existed in that family before this time. This is your day. Because we'll start with you as practical to show that what I'm talking about is very potent. When priesthood comes, they know what has immortal references, what has immortal value. Have you heard of Cornelius? What did the angel say to him? Cornelius, thy prayers and thy almsgiving have ascended to heaven as a memorial. That guy was not born again, but his arms reach heaven. There are people in your family that were not born again, but they were givers. They were philanthropists. They supported people, supported. All those things went to heaven. Now, there are some things you need to break from. God will not say, no, you don't need a new platform. There's something here already. There's something. There are many things that are held up in the heavens for your favor that you do not know. Abraham had a contract with God, and that contract he had with God created a website in the spirit realm, and that website is the website from whence all your salvation came from. It's on the strength of that website that Jesus came. Jesus stood on that website to operate, and that's why he was called the son of Abraham. All that Jesus did not do in isolation to the covenant and the contract that God had with Abraham. That's how the spirit realm works. Now we'll go into transactions tomorrow, because I've seen a river before. It drowns somebody, one person a year, and that person must be a stranger. The pattern was too accurate for it to be a mistake. So my father in the Lord went there after 3 days of fasting. He said, I heard that you take people. I closed your tongue and I anointed it. The people stopped drowning since that day. Those are priests. They know he closed the tongue of the river. Have you read in your scripture? He shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. He shall cut it off in his 12 strings. So that the people of God will walk on dry ground. There were many permutations that took place before that Red Sea parted. Come with me quickly. Number 2. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. Tony, are you still there? All right, Colossians 1:16. Please listen to that scripture carefully.
Wait first.
Now listen to me. Just in case there has been nobody in your family that has ever impressed God, and you happen to be the first one that is impressing him. The Bible says that a good man liveth an inheritance for his children's children. He didn't say a rich man. But what? May the Lord
help us.
He didn't say leave them houses, even though we'll try as much as possible if we can leave houses. But that's not what he was talking about. Based on your interaction with God, your mode of life, you understand not the realm you relate to it. You do some things that will make it easier. There will be a heritage in the spirit for your descendants to draw from in light. Just like there's a heritage in your family now for people to draw from in darkness. A good man creates heritages in the spirit. For people, they don't know why they are being blessed in the city and outside of the city. When they travel to strange countries, even though they are few in number, no one was allowed to do them wrong. And the people don't know why. Kings that rose up against them were slaughtered. The people did not know why. They did not know that on the strength of the heritage in the spirit, a decree was made. It was a royal decree. Touch not my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. That was what was hanging overhead by reason of contracts and transactions that kings of nations were humbled. People like Balak were cut off. Balaam died because there was a decree that they could not see. And the decree was what? Touch not. Touch not my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. It was priesthood that encoded those realities there. That's why I say, what a good man liveth an inheritance. So it will be you that is a genuine first generation Christian. You must labor to be good to leave that inheritance for other people to come and draw. I am a second generation Christian. My father's father was the idolater, not him. Right, so there are several transactions he did. It's easier for me than it was for him, because there's a heritage I'm drawing from. Please help me tell your neighbor, it did not start with you. There's one thing about the scientists, there's a very large heritage of scientific discoveries. So somebody, All right. We have very large heritage. In fact, your project work, your new researches is based on fundamental principles you got from other people's researches and their references and all kind. That's how it is. So there are several people. Everybody that has served God in your line has a reference that you can reference it based on this, based on that, based on this. Me, I have discovered this. And your discoveries are based on this, based on the heritage of apostles and prophets, based on righteous men that stood, righteous men that prayed, righteous men that denied iniquity in order to stand right. There were heritages that their commitments and sacrifices created in the realm of the spirit that a man of understanding can tap into and can walk upon the wind and stand upon the river of glass. Do the impossible in the midst of men, just because there's a heritage that backs you up. Not every man could be like Abraham. So just in case you are first generation Christian, your father is another man altogether, wake up. Your own struggles are different. The way to interpret your life is different. You are the good man that must leave an inheritance. You will fight many battles. You will correct a lot of legislations. You will dissolve contracts, a lot of contracts. Your life is a busy life. Yes. And because there are warriors in heaven, there must be warriors on the earth. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16.
For by him we are
some of us will travel to Agatu. We will send some people to Agatu. You go and do some transactions there. We have been in headquarters for too long. The whole land is no. Some of us need to travel to Naka. We need to send people with tokens to different places. And we erect things on it. It becomes a law. It means we have revived. That's why we have State House of Assembly. So that we can renew and revise the basis of our rights. The real function, the church, as captured by Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 16, is not fellowship. Fellowship is one of the things the church does, but the purpose of the church is not fellowship. Fellowship gives strength to the church, just like some of you traveled with a lean spirit. And as you are here and we are fellowshipping together, some vibration is beginning to enter into that spirit. And something is... Yeah, we find that in fellowship. Strength comes with fellowship. But the purpose of the church is government. And we govern by mysteries and by secret. We govern by priesthood. We govern by proclamation. We govern by enforcing the policy statements of the monarch of our city. Government cannot be effective until there is priesthood. So the time has come for us to act first. We're always reacting. They will kill us first, then we'll come and react. No, this is a change of order. We will attack. Hallelujah. Yes, we are going to Kano. We'll go to Kano. There's a mountain we need to climb in Kano and do some stuff. There are some politicians that we are going to... Their relevance will be cut off in the next 2 years. No, I'm not saying amen. It's something we are going to do. When we are finished, we'll come back and say, this man, we have terminated his political career. We terminated this one. We stopped this one. And this mad king, we check for what to do to him in the lexicon we didn't find. So we now say, this one is for death. You see, priests were terrible people. They didn't make friends easily. Because they were skilled, not in the ways of men, but in the ways of God. Why was it that Jesus rebuked Peter as if he was rebuking the devil? And he rebuked the devil as if he was rebuking Peter. He said, thou serverest not the things that be of God, but what? The things that be of men. Let us find out the things of God. The things of God. Are you giving my Colossians chapter 1 verse 16? Please read that.
Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth.
He gives us an insight into what he means by all things. Things that are in heaven and things that are in earth. Go on.
Visible and invisible.
Things that are invisible and things that are visible. Go on.
Whether they be thrones.
And then he now decided to give us insight into the invisible realm, such as we are not so acquainted with. He said this is the layout of the invisible realm. It's a realm of thrones. That's number one. Two.
or dominions.
The realm of dominions, that's number two.
Or principalities.
Realm of principalities, that's number three.
Or powers.
The realm of powers, that's number four.
All things were created by him and for him.
Let's work on that permutation quickly. It's a realm of dominions. Okay, let's start with principality. What is a principality, or who is a principality? Now, that word principality is a compound word. It means prince and his polity. A prince and his polity. Polity talks about a territory. The territory can be a person's life, can be a city, can be a nation, can be a continent. My principality. So, a prince that has a polity. A prince that has the territory to operate. Now, somebody can go to the market, he buys a book. And this book is a book of divination. Are you with me? It's a book of what? Divination. So he begins to read the book. And there are several recommendations in the book. And the person begins to carry out the recommendations. Unknown to him, he has opened his soul to a spirit. The name of that spirit is called divination. Are you with me? Now, so the owner of the territory that will decide what happens in that life, the name is called what? Divination. It means the principality over that life is called what? Divination. Now, in order for that principality to carry out his assignment, he will have to co-opt other spirits into the platform. So, he goes and brings fear. But, you see, fear doesn't stand alone. Fear operates under his own instruction, because the principality is called what? Divination. So, he will give fear instructions on how to attack his host. And if fear ventures to violate that, because there are a lot of spirits, but they don't have platforms for operation. So when you offer them a platform, hey, we're not going to disobey. Oh. So divination comes, and there's a particular way he wants to dominate that life. So he went and brought fear. So fear is a power. Fear is an ability. It has an ability that the principality likes. So he brings that power into his fear and assigns that power a duty, so that it intimidates the person and makes the person to continue reading the book and to carry out the instructions. It is fear that will come and say, "You should stop reading." So that's intimidation, to keep the person committed to the book. And as long as the person is exploring the portals that the script makes available, they depart the influence of divination, who is the chief principality that is running the affairs of that life at the moment. Until a demonic gang is formed over the life. So that man called the madman of Gadara, when Jesus came and began to interface with the man, you notice he said, "My name is Legion." It was the principality that spoke. It was a demonic gang, but only one was speaking. "My name is Legion, because we are many, but I speak for many. I'm king here. I run things here. I speak for all of them. In fact, I don't have a voice here. I'm the one that speaks for what happens here. My name is Legion. We are many, but that's my name. I'm every other thing that you are seeing around, because I control it. That's my name. We are many. I control how the activities go on." And that shows us the capacity of a man. Because the word legion is a Roman military term, which means a garrison of soldiers ranging from 2,000 to 12,000. There were at least 2,000 demons that guy played host to. But all the show was run by one. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So we have principalities. The ones that secured the territory in the first place. And just like your forefathers, they went to the river and said, "We have seen a sickness among us. Please, if you can cure this sickness, rule us. Tell us how to live life." So he said, "Are you aware of cure?" So the principality begins. Then he raises one of their sons and said, "This one will speak to me, and his lineage will be dedicated to my altar. If you want to hear my voice, consult his generations. I will be there to speak. By ordination, I have chosen them." So that lineage is now separated onto the altar. And then they speak to the people on the behalf of the spirit. And anytime he goes there and speaks his own, he is cut off. That he went to represent himself, they kill him. They raise another one. "Okay, you know why your father died? He went, this is what he did here." I'm not against you taking money, but don't use my name. Just do something else. The spirit begins to educate. Because there's a principality. Then you now wake up and say, okay, I'm born again. Meanwhile, there are some requirements that you're supposed to carry out. And you have not fulfilled those requirements. And you have boycotted the whole system because you are born again. No, that's not how you do it. After you get born again, you need to dissolve contracts. Now, you see, that thing that Jesus said. Is it Matthew 17? When he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Right? 18. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He's teaching us how to carry out what we call spiritual transactions. There are two kinds of transactions we can carry out. One of them is binding contracts. One of them is dissolving contracts. That thing there, bind on earth, is actually a word of contract. It's a register of contract. Whatsoever contract you make binding on earth, heaven will honor it. And whatsoever contract you dissolve on earth, heaven will dissolve it. It will no longer be applicable. It will no longer be a law by which your life will be governed. You gave your life to Christ, but you did not dissolve the contract. So the contracts were still functional in heaven. So I will show us tomorrow how to dissolve contracts. I found out last week. So that particular bind is not binding a spirit. No, it's contracting. You know, when we discuss a deal and we seal it up with your agreement, it means that contract is what? Binding. Is that not so? That's what law of contract is. How to draft an agreement between two people. And once the agreement is signed and if you want to take it further, you look for a notary public. Oh, commissioner of courts or a notary public. And then he makes it legal. Something has happened. Which one did we meet that day? Okay, commissioner of courts in Abuja. We bought land. We took everybody to the court. So that you cannot deny that we bought it. Are you with me now? Now, so you need to know how to dissolve a contract that is bound like that. With the seal of the commissioner of oath. Because you can still be born again and those laws, the judgments of violating those laws still apply to you. So we'll study that tomorrow, transactions. Then I will show us how to set up contracts. We allowed all the necromancers, all the wizards to set up the contracts that we run the life of our people, of our nation, and then we are complaining when we see the effect. No. Now we will set the laws. We will become the national assembly that sets the law. That is what the Ecclesia was supposed to do. The Ecclesia is set for government, not for fellowship. Set the laws. Go and trace the village, the interior village that your people settled first. Because that is where their beginning is. That is the origin. That is the egg. That is where they laid the foundations for the civilization that has evolved. You go back there and you rewrite the story. You write the story by the authority of the blood of Jesus. By the tree that bear witness in heaven. Many times there were prophets that came and said, hear, O lands, and give ear, O heavens. When you see a man summoning heaven and earth, it's because it is a spiritual ceremony. He wants to put in motion another law, another power that will mobilize the civilization in another direction. They have Moses and the prophets. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say, he said Moses and what? And the prophets. Everybody that wants to go into something, that wants to do something reasonable with his life is cut off. The ones that want to serve God, they are cut off. Pastors die like, no, we have not dissolved contracts. We have not dissolved. Many things took me to the secret place to find answers. Why would a minister of God die in active service? Then I found out that, yes, he was a righteous man. There were laws. There were contracts that were not dissolved. And God is a God of justice, of judgment, and of equity. Nothing can happen except it is in conformity with the laws established. You remember this law? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become what? That's how you came into the kingdom, because a law was set in motion. Have you also read, there's another law? He said, know ye not that whom you yield yourself servants to obey? That's another law. Servants of such you shall become. So you can be born again, but you yield consciously. And then you become a servant then. And the realm is what? Legalistic. Why will somebody apologize to you when he went to his backyard and took kitchen, chicken and kid? Does he need to apologize to you?
No, he doesn't.
As many of you, whatsoever you yield yourself as a servant to obey, that thing will have influence over you. It will become your master. And if he decides that you are the one to be sacrificed today, why should he be apologizing? God told me that the land is barren. It's parched and dry. That the wise men have not legislated. There are no new contracts with which he will reveal his power. Because we pray, we prophesy, but we don't know how to dissolve contracts. We don't know how to bind contracts. Meanwhile, I went to Israel. There was a heated battle. We were on pilgrimage. I saw the ferocious enemies. I think they wanted to swallow them all. But they have not been able to do that. Have you been on Facebook lately to see the inventions? Military hardware that Israelis. You know the reason why they cannot be destroyed? There are legislations, covenants, things that have been put in motion. And as long as you don't break them, dissolve them, what they hold will last forever. Have you ever told yourself, I shall not die, I shall live to testify of the works and the goodness of God in the land of the living? So many people died in my family in their prime. The ones that did not die, when they reached stardom, then witchcraft brought them to their knees. Are you the one who is to come? Should we expect another? There are contracts that we need to dissolve. He said that's the way the realm is. It's a realm of dignitaries, a realm of authorities, of barristers, of magistrates. It's a realm of legally luminous spirits that will press charges on every default on contract and see that the last farthing is recovered from generation to generation. Can we sing this song and get ventilation? Hosanna in the highest. Let my King be Hosanna, 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 in the Hosanna, na 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 na. Started yet. I just say take ventilation, take fresh air. Hey, if you can, you may be seated. If you can, now listen to me. Some chains will break of their own accord this night. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fear. Then looked to him and were radiant. And their faces were not ashamed. They were radiant. They were radiant. They looked to him and were radiant. This is the land that the Lord has chosen to showcase the power of the coming revival. Nothing can corrupt it. They have seen in horoscopy. They have seen through the gaze of stars. And through the gaze of the alignment of the sun and moon. That something needs to start here quickly to obstruct the people. But we be of the house of David. And the name of our King is Jesus. Anamoto, in the moment of time you want to pray and you command the confusion to go back to the sender. Send the confusion back to the sender. Back to the sender. Back to the sender. We are sons of light. We have a heritage of power. The voice of the King is among us. Siamame, siamame.
power of his word and respect his
authority.
By the power of his word and respect his authority. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. By the power of his word.